Welcome to Elon Restoration Fellowship, where Jesus is King, HaMelech, Lord, Hashem, and Messiah, Mashiach. And now, Pastor Billy Elias.
So tonight, Revelation chapter 3, it is the second part to the Hebrew letter Gimel. It has a little bit of a morbid title, but when we read it directly out of Hebrew, this is when we go to the word, you will see the phrase, this is what it means, event, avenger of blood. Of course, I love it because of the Avengers. But Gimel, the second part, the avenger of blood. Tonight, we are going to take a very deep look into an interesting, what would be the word? A very interesting occurrence in verses 4 and 5. Last week, we spoke about verse 4 being the key verse because of the Hebrew word ga'alo, meaning defiled. And if you remember, I'll just read it for you. In Revelation 3, verse 4, nevertheless, you do have a few people in Sardis who have not ga'alo et mel veshiyam. They have not soiled or spoiled or defiled their clothes. They are not naked. Think logically, when the clothing is defiled, it needs to be removed and either cleaned or burned. If it can pass through the fire, let it pass through the fire. But if it cannot, let it pass through the water. Either way, the only thing that can save the defiled is the baptism of fire and the baptism of water. And I'm not saying that the baptism of water and fire is how you get saved. We know it's by the glorious name of Jesus, the Messiah, and Him alone. But if you wish to have life and have it abundantly, you need to pass through the baptism of fire and the baptism of water. Jesus had both. You know, at the Jordan, the Jordan River, Yohanan the Immerser, John the Baptist came along and he baptized the Messiah for righteousness' sake. And later on, during the Feast of Sukkot, while he was on the mountain with James, John, and Peter, he became like fire. And they saw amongst him Moses and the prophet Elijah. Because at that moment, he was being baptized in fire. And if you read the narrative in both, the same thing happened. Behold, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So if we need and want to shed these defiled garments, we must go through the baptism of fire and water. This has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. It has nothing to do with any of that. This is about a sanctification that when you allow the Holy Spirit of God to enter into your heart, He will clean up your heart and your mind as long as you allow Him. That is the key verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. And if you remember, we spoke about Isaiah 11:2 2 weeks ago and the spirit of power. Why does the spirit of power, of bravery, of strength, of heroism, of greatness mean so much in Revelation chapter 3? Well, it's because, if you remember, the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet is the Gimel. Each Hebrew letter correlates to the chapter in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 correlates with the Hebrew letter Gimel, and the word for spirit of power, Ruach HaGevurah. Ruach HaGevurah, the spirit of power, of bravery, of strength. As a very, very quick overview, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Sardis and Laodicea, boy, did they need a spirit of power. They needed to be strong in the Lord and strength of His might, but they both turned their backs. Philadelphia remained steadfast. And if you remember, he introduces himself to one of the churches as, I am the great Amen, meaning it is finished, meaning you have blown it. You are naked, but you think you are rich. You think you need no more. You think you have it together. Au contraire, mon frère. I don't even know. I think that's French. I don't know what it means. But I heard one of the evangelists say that once, and it just made me laugh. So. But when we speak of the Hebrew letter Gimel, interestingly, we will look at the Hebrew phrase that means avenger of blood, and we will see it later on. However, tonight, let us start by looking at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 5. Now, as you're finding your place in verse number 4, we come across this thing about clothes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have defiled your clothes. Mm-hmm. Right? Hashem says you defiled your clothes. But I need you to put on new clothes. And I need you to be clothed in white. I need you to be worthy of the sacrifice that my son did on the cross for you. And when you humble yourselves and you see that, then I will be in your midst. If you remember what Gimel is, it's the letter of humility. It's the letter of kindness. It is the letter of charity. It's a culmination of a life spent serving other people with word or in deed, according to the calling that Hashem puts upon us. This is Gimel. Remember, it literally means camel. A camel is a humble creature, a beast of burden that gives water in the desert. When there's none to be had, Gimel becomes the great surgeon or the great servant. Oh boy, I'm butchering words tonight, aren't I? So tonight in verse 5, we're going to talk about this Hebrew letter, Gadim. Now remember, the Gimel has the G sound, right? So when we talk about Ruach HaGevurah, the G sound, the spirit of bravery. When we talked about lo ga'alo, we're talking about the defilement of the cloth. And so as we go tonight, we're going to find that God really kind of puts an emphasis on clothing. And throughout the rest of the revelation, we're going to see that God speaks about covering up your nakedness, or pointing out to those who are running around naked, the exposition of your sins, flaunted everywhere with no care. To be spiritually naked is blasphemous. It is something that we must understand can cause a great deal of harm within the community, within the church itself, which is why we are warned constantly in Tanakh, through the Torah, even the Brit HaHadishah, the New Testament, the New Covenant, to make sure that we keep ourselves washed and clean. Not to have our feet quick to run to wickedness. Because in doing so, we shed our garment. A lot is made of the disciple, which was Yohanan, the writer of this, that at the Messiah's arrest in Gethsemane, he fled. And then in the narrative, it says one of the guards grabbed his cloth and he broke away and fled naked through the hillside. Fear, doubt, dread, terror, and an unbelief at that moment in Yohanan's heart caused him to become naked and to be shamed. So, as we see this, we're going to hear about regal gowns. We're going to hear about coverings that would identify us as heirs to the kingdom of grace, to the kingdom of heaven. And it's not just limited to dresses. It's not limited to clothes covers. It's including tallits, prayer shawls. It's including those coverings that set us apart in the eyes of Hashem. So what we found in our key verse last week was, as we already spoke about that, but in keeping with the Gemel, we've uncovered the word ga'alo, which meant defiled. Now, in verse 5, we discover another instance of Gemel. And so we need to uncover this. And that Hebrew word is gadim. It is shown in the text as begadim. So when we look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, let me read it to you. He who wins the victory will, like them, be dressed in white clothing. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, Sefer Chaim. In fact, I will acknowledge him individually before my Father and before his angels. Please understand at this moment, Hashem, Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, is speaking to the very disciple that ran away naked in the hills of Gethsemane, just near the Temple Mount. Not only did he bring shame on himself, but at that moment, running away within proximity to the temple, he made that moment impure. That is the nakedness. So Yohanan knows a thing or two. John knows a thing or two when he writes his revelation, especially here when he says, if you win the victory, you will be dressed in white clothing, the finest regal linens. And I will not, Yeshua speaking, blot his name out of the book of life. In fact, I will acknowledge him individually before my Father and before his angels. It's a very simple thing. You who confess me before men, will I confess before my Father in heaven. It is a promise. A promise that he will keep. Hence the word gadim, or in this case, begadim, meaning to be clothed. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to find that being clothed in the garments is obvious. It's about being clothed in righteousness instead of being naked in wickedness. Please understand. So much. Understand this. When Mary Magdalene was caught in the act of prostitution, and she was dragged through the streets on the Feast of Sukkot, and the Messiah was in the temple preaching, and she was thrown at his feet, his famous statement, he who is without sin, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And when they've all left, he says to her, woman, where are these men that condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Rise up and sin no more. Yeah. You see, when he gives the command to rise up and sin no more, you are now leaving the nakedness of shame, of sin, of all types of wickedness that you've been involved in. And step by step, you are working through a sanctification process into intimacy with him. And it is a lifelong journey that he wishes to cover your nakedness. Why? Because Adam and Eve were naked in the garden. And when they sinned, what was the first thing they saw? That they were naked and they were ashamed. They were naked because they saw themselves for who they were. But God wishes to deliver us from that. Which is why he says to Sardis, you're naked and you don't even care. So I must clothe you. If you want to be clothed in garments of white, you need to be steadfast in Ruach Gevulah, the spirit of bravery, the spirit of strength, of greatness, of power. You need to be steadfast up until the very last breath you take. And at that moment, Messiah will rush to us He will take us by the hand. I always envision myself as like when I saw pictures of myself when I was like 2 or 3 years old, just running up to him with my floppy, curly, blonde hair all over the place and just jumping in his arms and then making all kinds of jokes that he's probably, he'll laugh because he thinks I'm funny, even though you don't. So, nobody's laughing. Okay, maybe I'm, I don't know. So, you were holding it back. You were trying to laugh.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that is interesting, if we want to really understand the garments and the importance, I would like to take us on a little journey back to that small little book in the Ketuvim, which is the book of the writings called Ruth. Specifically in Ruth chapter 3, verse 3, because as I was looking at the text and the narrative in Ruth chapter 3, I saw exactly what Hashem is saying to John here in Revelation chapter 3. Note that they're both chapter 3s. Interesting. And we know that they both 3 with Gemel. So anyway, so as we look at the theme of chapter 3, we find that it's about being clothed in righteousness. He says to Sardis and to Laodicea, you're not like Philadelphia. Philadelphia has pretty much got it together for the most part. You guys don't. And neither of you are righteous or working in righteousness. You're just walking in indignation, wickedness, and deceit. So let's go to Ruth chapter 3, verse 3. To set the tempo here while you're finding your place, Ruth has already met Boaz. She's already fallen in love with him. Naomi recognizes Boaz as the kinsman redeemer. Ruth has gleaned at the fields. She's caught his eye. It's Shavuot. Or the Feast of First Fruits into Shavuot. It's towards the latter feast days. And Naomi now says to Ruth, it is time for you to make your statement. Make your statement to Boaz. So in Ruth chapter 3, verse 3, we see this. So bathe, anoint yourself, and put on what? Bathe. Bathe. So bathe and anoint yourself with oil and put on the finest garments you have and then go to the threshing floor, but don't reveal your presence to the man until he's finished eating and drinking. Then when he lies down, take note of where he's lying. Later, go in, uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. There's three things that we have to pay close attention to, because again, we're understanding the Hebrew word gimel, and it's gentle, and it's kindness, and it's charity, and it's justice, and it's humility. Number one, Ruth first must make a mitzvah. She must bathe. We call it baptism. No, she must go into the living waters and prepare herself for what God has called her to do, and then present herself to the very one that God has called her to be with. The mikvah in Hebrew means to come from binding. The kwava is that word. It's to be bound with God. It's like a rope. We have a Havdalah candle somewhere here in the house. And if you look at the Havdalah, you can't tell where God begins and you end, or where you begin and God ends, because you become so intertwined that you're bound together. So that is a mikvah, believe it or not. We call it baptism, got it all wrong. It's a mikvah. Then she is to anoint herself. She is to put oil on her head. She's to prepare herself. This is supposition and just my opinion. I believe she not only anointed her head, but she anointed her ear, she anointed her thumbs, and she anointed her feet. She anointed her head for the covering of Hashem as she walked in fear and trepidation to this man. She's walking into his bedchamber, folks. And she anointed her ear so she can hear exactly what Hashem is doing. And then her finger to know how to do what Hashem was telling her to do. And then her feet so she knew to walk the right path. I mean, think about this. She's going to the threshing floor where they beat the grain out of the wheat. And she's dressed in her finest garments and her finest linens. Because you see, to Hashem, our best dress is nothing but work clothes. It's just filthy rags. He says that of our acts, even our acts of righteousness to him, are a woman's product during menstruation. That's how it is properly interpreted. So she gets all dressed up to go to the threshing floor. All the guys are at the threshing floor. Could you imagine what that thing smelled like? All the sweat and whatever else. She had to mikvah, anoint herself, and put on her best garments. And he says she was not to reveal herself until he had feasted. He was feasting because it was the feast days. It was during the feast day, so they were celebrating. And she, remember, was at one point a pagan who converted to follow Naomi by saying, "Your God is my God. Where you go, I go." She chose Hashem. And he says, wait until he has feasted and he has lied down. Then she goes in after waiting. Waits till he falls asleep. She's stalking him, let's be real honest. Can't do that today. Oh boy, could you imagine it? Although Josephine kind of stalked me, but I was okay with it because, you know, look at her. She's beautiful.
Don't believe it.
It's true. She's beautiful. So, what do you mean don't believe she's beautiful? She's beautiful. So, there she would humble herself and lie at his feet and wait for his direction. I want you to think about this for a moment. She laid at the feet of the man she knew could redeem her. Yes. So when we look at Ruth chapter 3 verses 9 and 10, he says then, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I'm your handmaid Ruth. Spread your robe over your handmaid, because you are a redeeming kinsman." And he said, "May Adonai bless you, my daughter. Your latest kindness is even greater than your first, in that you didn't go after the young men, neither the rich ones nor the poor." I want you to take a good look at the first several verses we've read in verse 3 and then verse 9. Both have something in common. Verse 3, she's told to do what? Put on her finest robes. Mm-hmm. Verse 9, she says to do what? Spread your robe over your handmaiden. It wasn't a blanket. It wasn't his tallit. It was his bed shirt. His pajamas. Spread your covering over me. Now, when we look at this, after answering, Ruth says to spread your robe over her. Now, the Hebrew phrase is kenafecha, and it means to spread your wings. That's what it means. She says to him, spread your wings over your servant. I seem to remember the Messiah overlooking Jerusalem at the same spot Jeremiah did, and says, "Woe to you, Jerusalem, who I have longed to gather under my wings like a hen does her chicks. Woe to you. But here she is, saying to her kinsman redeemer, spread your wings, your bed garment that you're wearing, over your handmaiden, your servant. And then she's blessed. Now, this, get ready for this. I know everybody listens to Ruth, and there's 8,000 Bible studies out there about Ruth. It's a really easy book to preach from until you really want to find out the Hebraic truth behind it. Right? Okay. What does Boaz say to her? You are blessed because what? You have not gone after young men, well, rich or poor. Well, guess what? You see, she's blessed because she, A, sits at the feet of the man she knew who could redeem her, and B, she didn't go after those men, i.e., she didn't go after idols. She didn't go after fornication. She didn't go after the men that were younger or older, who had more money, or were more physically appealing than Boaz. She stayed away from all of that. And she went to her Redeemer. You hearing me? Mm-hmm. And then we see in Ruth chapter 3, verse 14 and 16. Now let's see if you can pick it out. We're talking about garments. He also said, bring the shawl you are wearing and take hold of it. She held it while he put 6 measures of barley into it. Then he went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she asked, who are you? My daughter? She told her everything the man had done for her. Then she added, he gave me 6 measures of barley because he said to me, you shouldn't return to your mother-in-law with nothing. She was told to do what? Bring her scarf so that he could put barley in it. It is a scarf. It is a female head covering. It's not a tallit. It's not a dress. It's just a scarf that the women would cover. You see? So when she left Naomi, she was covered. When she came back, it was dark. Naomi was like, wait, what? What's happening? Where's your head covering? No one's supposed to uncover your head unless what? They are your husband and have had intimacy with you. But he said to her, uncover your head and let me put barley in there. Why? Boaz was acknowledging that he would redeem Ruth, and that barley was the price of the bride offering. Now, here's what's so important about what we've been talking about. You would say redeemer in Hebrew, goel. Goel. If you look at how goel is spelled here, where it says redeemer, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 26, Ruth 3, 9, Isaiah 49, 7, they all talk about what? The kinsman redeemer. What did the kinsman redeemer do here? He clothed Ruth in the finest linens and garments that he can find in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, the finest of the finest he could find. And then he made her his wife. And their child was named Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of King David. You see, a Gentile woman that mitzvahed and was anointed and followed the directions of Hashem, threw herself at the feet of her Redeemer, became a queen. At that moment, when David became king, everything before him was now royal. When we humble ourselves at the feet of the kinsman Redeemer, we trade nakedness for white linens. She says to him in Ruth chapter 3, verse 9, in Hebrew, Ki goel atah. You are a redeeming kinsman. You are a redeeming kinsman. Now, when I started this, we talked about the Gimel as the avenger of blood. Now, remember, Gimel is about kindness and charity. The word picture is of a man bowing and performing kindness. Because that's what the Gimel is. It's about a man bowing and performing kindness. Performing justice, giving charity. When we look at the story of Ruth, what was Boaz doing the entire time? He was showing her what? Kindness. He was showing her charity. He was humbling himself. He was giving her what? Justice. Do you realize what he could have done to her? He could have had her taken outside of Bethlehem and stoned as a prostitute. She entered his bedchamber and said, spread your wings upon me. Fast forward, I don't know how many years, Mary Magdalene to Jesus in the temple. Messiah could very easily have said, this woman is a sinner in the presence of me, the Yeshua, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in the holy temple itself. Take her out of here and stone her. But he didn't. Did he? Just as Boaz did not remove Ruth, the Messiah did not remove Mary Magdalene. Instead, Boaz marries the kinsman redeemer. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, marries his Gentile converted Jewish bride. And he clothed her with fine garments. So when we look and we look at Revelation chapter 3, and we talk about what God says to Sardis and what God says to Laodicea, he actually says, you are naked. You are, I can't think of the word. I need my Bible. You are naked. I can't think of the word. Sorry. Give me one second. I'm sorry. I hope I have it written here. If not, then I'm going to have to really. It's not in here. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. Boy, now I got a lot of editing to do. I thought I wrote it out, but I guess I didn't. So, he says to Sardis, repent. If not, you will wake up. I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. And then he said, he talks about overcoming. And then when he speaks to Laodicea, he says, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, what is he going to do? Mm-hmm. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. He says, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, and you do not know that you are miserable, and that you are poor, and you are blind, and you are naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by what?
Fire.
That you may become rich, and the what? White garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. That's Well, the Gemel, in the final definition, it's that ultimate act of humility to say that I will go naked to the cross. This is the Messiah. I know the Catholics have the little loincloth on him, and he's got the six-pack abs, and he's all ripped out. Well, I say this all the time. Actually, Caitlin pointed out to me one day, Daddy, well, honey, why does Jesus have a six-pack? I was like, I don't know. Maybe they had a Gold's Gym in the desert. I have no idea. But the point is,
you know what?
He was naked on the cross. He was naked for all to see. So because he was naked and went to his death, he did so that when we receive him and confess him and believe in him, he will clothe us in his righteousness. Go with me to John chapter 4, verse 42. This is an interesting word. It is the word Goel Hadam. Goel Hadam. It's right there. Goel Hadam. Remember what Goel means. Redeemer. We have it also show up early on where it says Ga'al. You remember that word? Ga'al? Mm-hmm. Which meant defiled, spelled exactly the same way. One's defiled, one's the redeemer. Gee, I wonder why. Because the redeemer, in an act of humility, charity, and kindness, redeems the one who's defiled. But there is a Hebrew word, Goel Hadam. The avenger of blood. Dam in Hebrew is blood. Hadam, the blood. Goel Hadam. Some would say Adam. Adam is like means blood or red man, or there's a lot of different, not the chewing tobacco red man, not the Indian red man, just red man. Okay? Goel Hadam. John chapter 4, verse 42. They said to the woman, we no longer trust because of what you said, because we have heard for ourselves. We know indeed that this man really is the savior of the word, of the world. In Hebrew, it would read Mashiach Olam, savior of the universe. But the way it is used, he has become the redeemer of the avenging blood. He is the avenger of the bloodline that was contaminated by sin in the garden.
You say that one more time, repeat that.
I have no idea what I just said. So you just have to watch this back.
Redeemer of the blood, right?
Mm-hmm. He is the redeemer of the blood, the avenger. In other words, he's come to take the sin. However, that's what Revelation is about. We were talking earlier, the focus is on the rapture, not the reason.
Pastor Billy will continue his message in just a moment. If you would like more information about sermon series, books, and other study materials, you can call us at 732-314-1956. Or you can email us at elanrestoration@gmail.com. You can visit us on Facebook for Shabbat and service times. And now we conclude today's message with Pastor Billy.
We focus on the rapture, but we don't care about anything else. Because there's really bad doctrine rolling around that says in Revelation chapter 4, the church is out of here. That doesn't line up in any way, shape, or form. That wasn't a doctrine until young Mary at the age of 14 years old at a revival in Scotland saw an angel in the sky. And the angel in the sky told her that in Revelation chapter 4 is when the church would be redeemed. Believe it or not, this is, and we just go ahead it and let's make it a doctrine. Not true, folks. Revelation chapter 7. When we get there, ooh, puppy. But what we have now is Jesus as the avenger of the blood. So, Father, we give you glory and we give you praise. We lift this night to you and we thank you for your blessings. And as always, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you shalom, peace. In the precious name of Jesus, the glorious Messiah, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Billy Elias. Pastor Billy is the founder and pastor of Elon Restoration Fellowship in Toms River, New Jersey. Join us again as Pastor Billy bridges the gap between the old and new covenants. And as always, may the Lord bless you with peace. Yeah.